the show. Welcome to National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, broadcasting from the co-certified studios in beautiful downtown Burbank. RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. Go there. Click on the donate button. Support this network. This network deserves your support. I'm Patrick Slattery. For those of you who I might be new to, because this is a new time slot. It is an improved time slot, at least for most people. I think it's considered a more valuable time slot. I will thank John Stattmiller for the promotion. It's great to be able to use his network in order to bring to you, our audience, real news, not fake news, but real news, real information, and real analysts, smart people like Mark Dankoff. Mark, welcome to the show.
Dr. Slattery, good to be with you. I've had kind of a busy week. I've been on Press Television Iran a couple of times, once on a debate format with Kaveh Taghvai being the host. And then a couple of days ago, I was on a very interesting taping session for something that's yet to be posted there in their programs section that will deal not only with the Khashoggi killing, but specifically with a lawsuit that Omar Abdulaziz of Canada in the Montreal area is filing against the Israeli spyware group known as NSO Group International, which was using its Pegasus 3 software to help the Saudis spy on both Abdulaziz and Mr. Khashoggi. So there's a lawsuit that Omar Abdulaziz has now filed against this Israeli spyware company called NSO Group International. Take a look at that and at the spyware itself called Pegasus 3, which not only gives us an even broader picture of the criminality of both Israeli and Saudi regimes, but it also suggests that those of us who are involved in alt-right media, both in the United States as well as in the UK and in Europe generally, need to be aware that we could be potential and perhaps have already been targeted by this very sort of thing. So this is good information for people to be aware of, not simply in regard to the criminality of at least a couple of foreign regimes' case, but it raises a lot of questions about the role of both British and American intelligence in all of this, as well as Israeli, as well as Saudi. What do our top people in NSA, for example, and in CIA know about this Saudi Arabian utilization of this Israeli Pegasus 3 spyware to target both Abdulaziz and the late Khashoggi? We don't have the answer to that question, but we better be asking that question publicly and demanding some answers out of our own leadership, not only for what may have been their own role in either helping with the targeting or acquiescing to the targeting with staying quiet about the whole thing, potentially, but what are American dissidents in this country being subjected to, who are not criminals, who are left or right of center, and who are very, very critical from everything from American foreign policy relationships with Israel and Saudi Arabia to some of the same kinds of things that are characterizing these yellow vest protesters in France in regard to economic and political developments there.
Okay. Well, you know, I know we were going to have our salute to the fallen president, the American hero, our salute. Maybe it's a two-finger salute. Although, you know, the Cub Scouts have a two-finger salute, so maybe it's a Cub Scout salute. Who knows?
I once prayed for the guy, and we could get into that story while we're on the air. It's a true story.
Well, you met him, right?
What's that?
You met the late President Bush, is that correct?
I met him on one occasion, and I don't want to get too autobiographical here, but met him on one occasion, and on that singular occasion, I was at that juncture the 36th legislative district chairman of the Republican Party in King County, Seattle. This was 1988. It was George Bush, of course, then vice president of the United States, getting the GOP nod to take on Michael Dukakis in the fall of 1988.
Now, were you involved in the Republican Party in Kings County?
Yes, I was the 36th legislative district chairman of the Republican Party in King County, Seattle, in those days, which was the largest state legislative district in the entire state. And not simply that, in terms of the number of precinct committee officers I had underneath me, but if one knows anything about the demographics of what was also known as the Thirsty 36th, which gets back to some of the parties that the Republicans threw.
Hello?
Yes. Am I still with you?
Yeah.
But the Thirsty 36th was the party that partied together and elected together, both in King County and also helping getting state and national Republican candidates elected. There were some awfully powerful people that lived in the 36th legislative district, including Jennifer Dunn, who at one point became the most Republican, probably the most powerful Republican congresswoman in the country during the Bush era. Ken Eikenberry, whose daughter Jill Eikenberry was the actress on the L.A. Law Show. Ken Eikenberry was the Attorney General of Washington State. He was quite close to Jack Kemp in those days. Uh-huh. And Ken, again, was the Attorney General. I was acquainted with him. And then Slade Gorton, the U.S. Senator Slade Gorton, lived in the 36th, and so forth and so on. So the 36th Legislative District had a lot of heavy hitting Republicans living there, heavy hitting on a national basis, knew all of these people and was elected in a compromise that had to be developed between the Bush internationalist wing of the Republican Party, which we'll be talking about in a minute, and those of more conservative mind who were not happy with the notion of going into a national election with George Bush as their standard bearer. Now,
yeah, I have a quick question.
Sure.
Didn't Pat Robertson win the Washington, was it a caucus in Washington in 1988?
In those days, that's right. That's exactly what happened. In those days, Pat Robertson was the...
Talk about a memory, eh?
Yeah, that's right. And you see, I was neither for Robertson nor for Bush. I was holding my nose and quietly going for Jack Kemp, who went nowhere that year, simply because Kemp was neither Bush nor Robertson. Now,
He was not a hawk, he was a dove, armed dove.
That's right. But unfortunately, Jack's ties with the Israeli lobby, I began to learn a great deal about Jack Kemp. We won't even go into over the air here necessarily. But suffice it to say that Bush's top people and Robertson's top people got together and determined that they had to come up with somebody that both sides could stand as the 36th legislative district chairman. I was the only choice they could agree on. It's like, okay, he's a nice guy, he's a Christian, he's a conservative, but he's going to play along with King George because King George is going to be the nominee, right? So right. It's like, okay, Dan Koff is going to be 36th legislative district chairman, even though he hadn't even been in the state but a couple of years. So that's how I got elected. That's how I became acquainted with Lee Atwater, that used me from time to time and different things he had going on out in the Pacific Northwest at that time. Suffice it to say that I was tapped, since I am a Lutheran clergyman, to do the invocation for King George when he, and in this case his daughter Dorothy, was with him. Mrs. Bush, Mrs. Barbara Bush, was not with the then vice president.
He had a daughter, Dorothy.
Yes.
Okay.
Because
you don't hear much about her. You hear, of course, about, you know, George the retard, and I'm sorry, George the second,
yes,
and Jeb and Neil and Marvin. But
yeah, Dorothy, that's it. And of course, I later met W when I was tapped to do something for him here in Texas in 1994. I never voted for W for president. I want to make that clear. I was voting for third party candidates well before then, but
yes,
I did agree to help W when he was running against Ann Richards here for governor of Texas. I was tired of Ann Richards, did not for her. She's a liberal Democrat, of course. And I was tapped to help W, and was involved in Texas GOP politics just at the state level here in Texas, but that involved making sure, for the sake of the Texas State Rifle Association and the NRA, that Ann Richards was not reelected. We achieved that, and that was the end of my relationship with George W. Bush.
Okay. Well, did you ever meet George W. Bush?
Oh, yeah, sure. As a matter of fact, there's a very embarrassing picture, if you can find it online. Now, in the event you can't find it, I might even send it to you and to the studio while we're on the air, that shows my Spanish-speaking wife, a naturalized American citizen from Colombia, who is standing on one side of W. I'm on the other side of W, and the picture was taken by a Republican GOP judge from Kerr County at that time, who also served with me on the board of directors in those days of this pro-life crisis pregnancy center. That was the only free maternity home in the state of Texas. But at any rate, yeah, that's the one time that W and I were photographed together. And that photograph, I believe, is probably still floating around in search engines on the net. So it's not a photograph I necessarily would choose to advertise. But since you forced my hand, yes, I met the guy. Yes, I worked with his once in Texas when he was running for governor. I never had anything to do with him again, and I'm sure that both W and his late father would prefer that they had not shaken my hand even once. But that's politics does strange things to people, and of course I'm completely out of Republican Party politics now.
For the record, I never had a conversation with any president. Jimmy Carter at a Carter for President rally in 1976 was, after making a speech, he was like going by shaking people's hands in the crowd. I stuck out my hand. I don't even remember if he shook it or not, but that's how close I got to him. But that's,
it was apparently memorable because you don't remember whether or not
he even
shook your hand. Yeah. Yes. Yeah,
but you know, we are doing our retrospective on the late fallen American hero.
Yes.
And it is kind of sickening in the press. There's so much in the press, and you know, about his great leadership in the Gulf War. And on PBS, on the news hour, they showed the clip of his speech where he was saying, some people don't understand why can't we wait with invading Iraq? You know, why do we have to do it now?
Wall Street says so.
he said the world cannot wait, which means nothing. But the thing is, and I was overseas at the time, and there was no internet, so I had no way of knowing how this was being carried in the American press. You know, I might see American newspapers, but way late, and frankly, American newspapers aren't very interesting. So, I knew, and I was surprised that Don Black on Stormfront Radio didn't know this. And I know he's a very aware person. But the day of that speech, or the day before that speech, the envoy sent by President Mikhail Gorbachev, a person by the name of Yevgeny Primakov, who later became, for a short period of time, the Prime Minister of Russia under Yeltsin, but he was somebody who spoke fluent Arabic. He was a Jewish individual, but he spoke fluent Arabic. He was sent to Baghdad and negotiated a withdrawal of all Iraqi forces from Kuwait. It would be an orderly withdrawal. It would take 2 weeks. I saw it on TV. I saw the announcement on TV. I was sitting I can't remember why I was in the hospital room, but I was in a hospital waiting room, and I cheered, and there, you know, other people, everybody was happy that there's not going to be a war. And then less than 12 hours later, I hear this Bush saying the world cannot wait. We can't wait. We can't wait 2 weeks. So we've got to have, what was it, a 40-day bombing campaign and then followed up by an invasion because the world can't wait. It can't wait 2 weeks. It has to wage death and destruction for a month and a half. I mean, that alone, forget the no new taxes stuff. I mean, that's, so what? For that alone, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, that makes him a war criminal. There was no justification for that invasion.
Well, that's exactly right. And let me just simply add 2 points to this to keep it as brief as possible. Lou Rockwell, the wonderful Lou Rockwell of lourockwell.com, reposted in recent days, and I put it up at National Bugle Radio in one of our categories on our news page. The late Robert Perry, once of Newsweek, of course, who was probably the most connected reporter in the country at that time covering the Iran-Contra affair. And Mr. Bush's actual role in that, which was concealed from the public for years. But Robert Perry of Consortium News, in later years, Consortium News, wrote this piece about George Bush, George Herbert Walker Bush, and his actual role in the Iran-Contra affair, and just what a sordid business it was, and the extent to which Bush and significant people in the Bush campaign team, and more importantly to the point, key people in the national security establishment and in the Republican establishment, which was still in control, of course, of the White House in the Reagan years, were at work to bury the truth about what George Herbert Walker Bush knew and was involved with directly in this Iran-Contra affair.
So what did he know? Because he claimed to have been out of the loop, although he also claimed to have been very involved in everything as vice president. So what was the truth?
Well, the truth is that he was very involved and had a first-rate knowledge of everything going on in that situation. And that he made several trips that he lied about, and there was at least one trip that involved William Casey, the late William Casey, CIA director under Reagan, to Madrid that was covered up, where Casey was directly implicated in all of this stuff as well. I'll let people read for purposes of time as far as the network today. Let people read what Robert Perry published on this. At Consortium News, reposted by Lou Rockwell, and now somewhere we've got it on our National Bugle page. But suffice it to say that Perry makes an absolutely ironclad case about how much George Herbert Walker Bush knew, how much George Herbert Walker Bush was directly involved in this whole Iran-Contra affair. Now, having said that, this whole situation with Mr. Bush's rush to war in the first Gulf War, which we might add was really the ultimate beginning of all of the things that began to happen from 9/11 and thereafter with all of these other subsequent American military fishing expeditions that have us at a now where we clearly are overextended. We are clearly in a mess. We are clearly in a situation where the meter is still running in Iraq, in Afghanistan. We've made a mess of Libya. We are destroying Syria. We're threatening to attack Iran. Really, such a pivotal figure in all of this disastrous decision-making, one George Herbert Walker Bush, and then subsequently, of course, his son, George W. Bush. They weren't the sole players, but they certainly were at the center of this internationalist, interventionist wing, globalist wing of the Republican Party. These are people who are not nationalists. These are not people who are originally from Texas. These are not people who are what we would call America First people in any sense of the word. And this is why the media is lionizing George Herbert Bush in the same way that they did the late John McCain.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one from Amazon.com. I just wanted you to know I saw my doctor and I laughed because he said, "I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it." I have been taking Extendivite. I had borderline high blood pressure, heart flutter, high cholesterol. I changed my diet and included Extendivite with an amazing turnaround for the better. A few months later, I had a doctor's appointment and took a stress test. I passed. No heart flutter. Blood pressure was perfect. My doctor even took me off my medicine. I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. This stuff works, and I'm so grateful for Extendivite. Thank you, Justin G. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back to the show, National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Patrick Slattery with Mark Dankoff. And so, Mark, just before the break, you mentioned, I guess, drilling and the oil drilling. This was something that was really the main cause of the initial Iraqi invasion of Kuwait. They had a gripe. Of course, both Kuwait and Iraq, their economies depend on oil. They're major oil exporters. I think they were perhaps number two and number three in the world at the time, with Saudi Arabia being the number one oil exporter, and Kuwait and Iraq were two and three, and I'm not sure if that's respectively or not. But at any rate, there had been an issue between them. They share a border. Kuwait's a tiny country, but it's right there at the head of the Persian Gulf, sitting on top of oil fields, but the oil fields go well beyond its own border. But the issue was this directional drilling or horizontal drilling or diagonal drilling that Iraq had been long complaining that Kuwait was drilling wells. And on the surface, the wells were on the Kuwaiti side of the border, but the oil that they were tapping into was on the Iraqi side of the border. And at the time, I don't know if it was reported to an extent, but I'm not sure how much it was believed, because I don't know how common the practice was at the time. Of course, nowadays, domestic oil boom is based on this. The fracking is completely based on directional drilling, where you drill down and then the drill turns a corner and drills out. So these fracking wells, they're typically kind of like spider. They've got like six or eight holes going down and then out in all directions, like a spider web. So, or a spider's legs, maybe. So this had been an issue, and you were saying that I forgot her name, but the ambassador to Iraq was a woman from the State Department, had seemed to have led Saddam Hussein to believe that the United States would not oppose a military intervention by Iraq into Kuwait. Is that the case?
Yes. Our old friend Stephen M. Walt of Walt and Mearsheimer fame has a piece out.
Stephen Walt, University of Chicago professor.
Yeah. And on January the 9th, 2011, he clarifies what he and Mearsheimer both said about April Glaspie and this whole business of what was going on with her at the time in regard to what she was conveying to Saddam Hussein at the behest of the President of the United States, right? First of all, Glaspie later accused Walt and Mearsheimer and the Washington Post itself of accusing her of quote-unquote diplomatic incompetence and that they quote-unquote piled on her. Walt clarifies that in this piece that we're going to put up as we speak at National Bugle's news page portion of our website. Walt says, here's what we actually said, quote, in 2003, quote, in a now famous interview with the Iraqi leader, U.S. Ambassador April Glaspie told Saddam Hussein, quote, we have no opinion on the Arab-Arab conflicts like your border disagreement with Kuwait, unquote. The U.S. State Department, Walt tells us, had earlier told Saddam that Washington had, quote, no special defense or security commitments to Kuwait, unquote. Walt goes on to say the United States may not have intended to give Iraq a green light, but that is effectively what it did, quote, unquote. And in this particular case, you read through this, I had it suggested to me some years later by someone with a CIA connection to all of this stuff at a lower level at the time, that the real truth of this matter, according to this source whose name I can't use on the air, was that essentially Israel and the United States had it figured that it was time for Israeli interests to reduce some Saddam Hussein's force as a regional power, because Israel ultimately did not like the idea of any Arab power or the Iranians, who are not Arabs, of course, Persians, but did not like the idea of either any specific Arab country or Iran gaining a level of regional strength that would threaten Israeli hegemony and Israeli goals in the region. And so the suggestion was made to me that although it was advertised as a fight to protect Western oil at the time, that in fact this particular source believed that Glaspie had deliberately led Saddam into this trap so that the United States could get rid of Saddam since he had outlived his long-term usefulness.
Okay, that's very interesting. We're going to talk about that when we come back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited. So take a breath, head to aroutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at aroutfitting.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to libertystickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's libertystickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
So, Mark, just before the break, you were had been talking about the ambassador April. What was her last name?
Glaspie.
Yeah, April Glaspie. Apparently, giving a green light to the Iraqi President Saddam Hussein's decision to invade Kuwait over these grievances that he had, and the possibility that they might have really been luring him into something that then could be used to launch a war in order to topple or at least cripple Iraq.
Yeah, and this kind of exactly this gets into the whole business. Okay, get rid of Saddam Hussein, begin to tidy things up in the world and containing him. If he gives us any more trouble, we'll flat get rid of him, which has in fact happened a number of years later, right? We ended up having him executed. But the idea was simply clip his wings a little bit, keep him under control, make sure he is going to keep his mouth shut about anything that he's been doing for us for many years, including igniting this Iran-Iraq war for us from 1980 to 1988, which killed a million Iranians. We're also not going to talk about Saddam Hussein having been hired by the Central Intelligence Agency in the late 50s to assassinate the then Prime Minister of Iraq. By the way, Saddam failed in that attempt. According to the UPI's intelligence correspondent, Saddam actually shot himself in the foot in this ill-fated assassination attempt where the CIA had hired him to kill the then Prime Minister of Iraq.
But okay. Folks, this starts getting in the foot?
What's that?
Did he literally shoot himself in the foot?
That's exactly what he did.
And so this was in the 1970s.
No, in the late 1950s that we had.
Okay.
We had apparently found Saddam Hussein in some rat hole somewhere. I don't know how we originally got established with this guy. But as near as I can tell, the UPI intelligence correspondent, I think his name is Richard Sale, S-A-L-E, if I'm remembering correctly. But you can find it online. He chronicles the fact that Saddam was not much of an assassin. Here we hired this guy to kill the then prime minister of Iraq. That's a real nice error, right, folks? And Saddam ended up literally shooting himself in the foot with whatever weapon he was going to use. And so that's among the many things that the United States government and people like King George Herbert Walker Bush and his son W would prefer that you and I didn't find out about, right? The Bush Empire, like the John McCain people and all the other people who love empire, they don't want us peons finding out the extent to which their criminality is subsequently exposed for all to see. And, of course, this gets back to everything from Saddam Hussein's role as an ill-fated CIA assassin to his provable role at the behest of the United States and Israel and Britain, among others, in starting a war with Iran. The so-called Iran-Iraq War, which started the year after the Shah and his bride had to leave Iran, that contained the Ayatollah for 8 years. And, of course, this starts getting into the Iran-Contra affair, doesn't it? There's so much sick stuff underneath the surface on this. But, of course, is our fawning mainstream media, which just loves King George Herbert Walker Bush, going to tell you any of this? Are they going to tell you that apparently the George Herbert Walker Bush was the CIA's liaison to the Warren Commission report, and that he was apparently so interfacing with the FBI when it came to matters pertaining to the Warren Commission? No, they're not going to talk about that. They're not going to talk about the stuff we're talking about with this horizontal drilling dispute that ended up igniting a very well-planned American desire to intervene militarily in Iraq, in Desert Storm, all of the other things that surround our situation with Saddam Hussein are never going to really see the light, because this would tell us more about what the Bush Empire is like. It would tell us a great deal more about what John McCain is all about and his father before him. It would tell us just how these things really go. And, of course, the late William Colby, who had a mysterious drowning accident in the first part of April in 1996.
William Colby, the former CIA director.
Former CIA director, and he was purportedly someone who knew all kinds of things that certain powerful people in Washington would never want revealed. A lot of circumstances that surround his death. Read the first chapter of the definitive biography on William Egan Colby entitled Shadow Warrior, and you'll see that in all likelihood, Mr. Colby's sudden passage had nothing at all to do with a drowning accident. The man was abducted, subsequently murdered. But the point is that, are you going to see any of this stuff on CNN or Fox, for that matter? I mean, it's amazing, isn't it? Let's think about this for a minute, Dr. Slattery.
And I just want to interject briefly. William Colby, he was the director of the CIA from September of 73 to January 76. So that would be the last year of Richard Nixon and then part of the Ford administration, when a lot of stuff was going on in the CIA. And would he have been who was before him or after him? George Bush would have been, I guess, right before him. Yes. Oh, no, right after him. He was seceded by George Bush.
At the behest of Gerald Ford, right? So there's so much stuff here. We could do show after show after show just on this sleazy business alone. There's so much stuff that's out there that you can still find through public sources where you just shake your hands. And so when you watch this deification of the emperor yesterday, which is what this whole Bush funeral was about, of course, the state funeral, and think back to the deification of John McCain, and I will say this for President Bush, both President Bushes, as many bones as I have to pick with these guys. I don't like them. I'm sure they don't even remember me, but they wouldn't like me either. They're at least they're not John McCain, so I don't want to hit even George Herbert Walker.
Well,
but
of course, John McCain mercifully never got himself elected president. These two guys did, and the second Bush somehow twice. And, you know, I describe what's been going on with these wars of the past decades as the Zio Wars, Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, Yemen. You know, these are the Zio Wars. And the Zio Wars started the day that George H.W. Bush invaded Iraq.
And exactly.
And it was a type of thing, that kind of invasion of Iraq, of a country that had, if it wasn't a Soviet client state, it was certainly a Soviet customer state. It purchased Soviet weaponry. It could not have happened just a few years earlier. The United States had the Vietnam virus. It had fared very poorly in an overseas war, and there was a lot of reluctance to go overseas. Maybe a little bit of it was chipped away by Reagan's Grenada episode, but that was so small. And of course, Reagan also had a very unfortunate dispatching of American troops to Lebanon, many of whom didn't come home. But this type of thing couldn't have happened just a couple of years earlier. The traditional style Soviet governments would have put their foot down and said, no, you aren't. And it would have been a risk of World War III. But by 1990 and 91, the Soviet Union was in such turmoil President Gorbachev was facing inwards, and he wanted to avoid this war. Like I mentioned earlier, sent Yevgeny Primakov to negotiate a peaceful settlement. But I think that, that Bush and his administration were exploiting the relative weakness, or if not weakness, distraction of the Soviet leadership, you know, into their domestic affairs, taking advantage of it, but also undermining and knowingly undermining the Soviet leadership, and I think the coup d'etat against President Gorbachev in August would not have happened if you had not had this invasion of Iraq earlier in the year. That this weakened President Gorbachev's position, and so his vice president and top military officers launched an aborted coup d'etat against him, which weakened him and wound up ultimately leading to Yeltsin, who was the head of the Russian part of the Soviet Union, effectively dissolving the Soviet Union. I think plunging that part of the world into a massive demographic crisis, the likes of which would take many shows to discuss. So I mean, President Bush launched the Zio Wars.
Absolutely. I would stand by that statement with you. I think that's absolutely the case. And as we look at the relationship between the Christian right in the United States, and make no mistake, folks, I am a conservative Lutheran Christian. I am pro-life. I'm pro-Second Amendment. I am anti-New World Order and all of these other things. That's why I do what I do on the air for nothing. But we must understand that when we look at this whole business of the Christian right and the fact that many of them love the Bush people, we must remember that in the front page of the San Antonio Express News, which has been lionizing King George Herbert Walker Bush. They had a big spread on him yesterday, front page, that showed another globalist icon, Bob Dole, who was being pulled out of mothballs to be publicly photographed next to the Bush grave. Mm-hmm. We didn't see Pat Buchanan there, did we, folks? And when we look at this whole issue of the Bush Bob Dole, Where do people think these globalist trade treaties got their support, along with the Clinton Empire, of course? NAFTA, GATT, the World Trade Organization, and all these other things. Look at the collusion and internationalist establishment in the Clinton people, in what happened in the looting, the absolute looting of Russia after the breakup of the former Soviet Union. Mm-hmm. This gets back to E. Michael Jones of Culture Wars and his wonderful review of Craig Unger's House of Trump, House of Putin, where Jones gives us the full story on what really happened and who benefited and who did not benefit. Mm-hmm. The fact that one can make a case for the fact that Bush and Clinton were both very much involved in supporting mm-hmm. a bunch of Wall Street criminals mm-hmm. And foreign investors with some Russian insiders to steal Russia blind and to get Yeltsin elected after they were rid of Gorbachev and to keep that drunk in right. power as long as they could.
And, of course, there is the entirely coincidental common ethnic and tribal affiliation, entirely coincidental, of not just these investment brokers and whatnot, but also the their compatriots or their ethnic compatriots.
They were Jews, folks. They were Jews. As a matter of fact, right here, E. Michael Jones devastates Unger's book. And at one point, Jones says, as you're going through Unger's book, everywhere you see the word Russian, replace it with Jew. And suddenly you've got a completely believable book. This is exactly what happened. These oligarchs were almost exclusively Jewish. Mm-hmm. They were working in conjunction not only with their own pocketbooks, but with Jewish-administered banks and with the Zionist lobby globally. Mm-hmm. These are the people that King George and Bill Clinton and others of their ilk were and are doing business with.
Yeah.
In order to continue eviscerating Russia to the extent that they can,
yeah.
And now that Russia has a strong nationalistic president and Vladimir Putin is trying to revive a pre-communist Russian Orthodox culture in that country, all of a sudden it's not simply a question of Jewish oligarchs and Zionist interests hating Putin's Russia because it's not going along with being dragged into the New World Order as far as the banking system and allowing Jewish interests to loot Russian natural resources and so forth. But all of a sudden we have Vladimir Putin promoting traditionalist values as it pertains to protecting unborn life, reestablishing a strong expansion of basic Russian demographics in Russia in terms of the birth rate. Here we have Vladimir Putin stopping this insidious Western and Jewish-backed LGBTQ movement in his country that's designed to destroy that country in the same way that it's in the process of destroying the United States
right.
and Western
and I just want to underscore for a second what you just said about the continuity of policy from H.W. Bush to Clinton, and you could pass it on to the retarded son as well. These projects, whether you're talking about NAFTA and the WTO, that whole trade, globalization, or if you're talking about the destruction of Russia, these were all started in the George H.W. Bush administration and carried to fruition by the Clinton administration. And, you think of Clinton and Bush having run against each other, and yeah, they were rivals, but they were personal rivals. They both wanted the glory for themselves. They wanted the perks and everything for themselves, the fame for themselves. It's not as if they represented any different philosophies and they didn't represent different elite interests. They basically were just competing to see who gets the honor and glory and fame of carrying through these elite globalist interests, Zionist interests.
Exactly. And so the average Russian, just like the average American, just like the average Iranian, just like the average Palestinian or Syrian or Libyan, has been getting tromped on by these people that mainstream media tells you are just so wonderful, including the emperor that we were all worshiping yesterday at this state funeral at the at Washington's National Cathedral. And in terms of themes, the themes in that funeral, and again, George Herbert Walker Bush was a far more palatable personality than John McCain. I will be somewhat fair to 41 here. But nonetheless, in the bigger picture, the armaments industry, the banks, the world banking structure, the Bretton Woods banking structure that we've lived with since the end of the Second World War, the expansion of empire, the utilization of the American military machine as a janissary force for the expansion of Zionist interests in the Middle East, and all the rest of it, to me, it is an indication of the tremendous Republican Democrat, the Bush Clinton. Yeah,
are we at break yet? We skip it.
Let's have a break in the empire.
Let's have a break in the empire.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer from me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Attention RBN listeners, Dr. Ignatius Piazza, founder of Front Sight Fire.
So, Mark, you mentioned that all of these people involved in this effort to steal the assets of the Russian people, Jewish. I'm just going to read the names of the main people involved. The American advisors dispatched to the Russian government, Jeffrey Sachs from Harvard, Lawrence Summers from the Treasury Department, later became the Secretary of Treasury and the President of Harvard University, Peter Orzag, also from the Treasury Department, all Jewish. Money from international Jewish financiers like George Soros were then funneled into Russia through the privatization minister, Anatoly Chubais, also Jewish. And these well-connected Jews with Russian citizenship, like Boris Berezovsky, Mikhail Khodorkovsky, Mikhail Friedman, they had access to all these Jewish money from outside. They had the citizenship, and they were able to take advantage of these shock therapy privatization schemes that were forced on Russia by Sachs and Somers or Orzhov Chubais, and they took over the country and devastated it. So, Mark?
Yes.
Back to you.
Okay, I'll simply steal from Dr. E. Michael Jones. This isn't plagiarism, because when I steal other people's stuff, I give them full attribution, folks. But this is a marvelous book review that Dr. Jones gives us in The Current Culture Wars of Greg Unger's less than satisfactory book. But let's just summarize what Jones tells us. The crucial link, however, is not Donald Trump and his casinos. It is Jeffrey Sachs and the Harvard Institute for International Development. And of course, this gentleman himself is Jewish. Jones goes on to tell us that 7 of the 8 Russian oligarchs who snapped up the resources of the former Soviet Union at fire sale prices were Jews. Shock therapy was Jewish as well. The biggest looting operation in the world's history was a Jewish operation on both sides of the Atlantic. The head of the American side of the looting operation was a Jew by the name of Jeffrey Sachs, the man Harvard appointed as head of the Harvard Institute International Development in May of 1995. Sachs' mentor and financial backer was George Soros, whose Open Society Foundation restructured one former communist country after another in Eastern Europe to facilitate the liquidation of government enterprises and the transfer of those assets to Jewish bankers on Wall Street. Sachs' support team was Jewish as well. Quote, after Yeltsin's coup, Stanley Fischer, the first deputy managing director of the IMF and a 1970s Chicago boy, advocated moving as fast as possible.
And Stanley Fischer, who later became the president of the Bank of Israel and the deputy chairman of the Federal Reserve in Washington.
Exactly, exactly. That will appear later in what I don't have time to read. Lawrence Summers, that you've already mentioned, is mentioned here. And the list of these names goes on and on. But folks, this is a Jewish looting operation from start to finish, as Dr. Jones details it in his book, The Current Culture Wars of November 2018, talking about Craig Unger's book, The House of Trump, The House of Putin.
So thank you, George H.W. Bush, for making it possible. And thank you, William Clinton, for continuing with that vital work.
And Buchanan in 2020, folks.
Okay, well, thank you so much for coming on the show again, Mark. And we will be back again tomorrow with another very exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $400? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.